Please forgive me for preempting Thrive with Brad Bigney. My name is Todd Friel. I'm the executive director of Fortis Institute. We have the joy of producing Thrive, which is ranked in the top 3% of all podcasts worldwide. Why? Because, like you, I'm learning a ton from Brad. After 35 years of marriage, I listen to Thrive and I'm reminded of what marriage is all about and how to do it in a more God-glorifying way. If that describes your experience with this podcast, would you please consider supporting Fortis Institute as the year draws to a close? Super crucial giving season for us. It'll help us enter 2026 in a very healthy fashion and reach even more people and strengthen even more marriages. If you would kindly consider becoming a gospel partner, you can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
Marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Well, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my wife, Vicky, by my side, or across from the recording table.
Hello, Thrive family. Glad to be back.
Thank you for joining us, because we are so excited to do something together. I mean, I've been in ministry over 40 years, and she's been a delightful ministry pastor's wife for sure. But so much of it has been behind the scenes anonymously, and she's wonderful. But it's a joy to kind of do this together because that's what marriage is all about, together.
Right.
And each of us, we're bringing parts of what was going on in our marriage were related to each of us. We both had to be in on this. We created the terrible marriage we had, and it took both of us to get to a better place.
And you never know what you're going to hear about us. Some of you know us better than people at our own church because we're both talking. And the thing that makes me nervous about shows like this is you never know what's going to come up. Like last time, it was said that I have
bird nest hair. Yeah.
That was not in the notes.
Yep.
Last time I saw that,
and I didn't say anything. She had just come home from St. Louis from going and helping our oldest daughter celebrate a one-year-old birthday for her granddaughter, for our granddaughter, her daughter. And I think it was pretty rough.
And I went with my other daughter and her two children. Yeah. And I was kind of like the car liaison. She's driving.
Just
I'm handing people stuff.
Staying up late, trying to help with three grandkids, yada, yada, yada. When she walked through the door, I was like, wow. Her hair was just smashed flat, and she looked absolutely exhausted as she staggered.
I was exhausted, but it was so worth it.
But
I would do it again tomorrow.
Did I say anything? Oh, no, because
he's a wise man.
I'm your host, Brad Bigney, of Thrive. Your marriage is not going to thrive when you say, baby, what happened to you, and what is going on with your hair?
But it was a good time.
I kept all those thoughts to myself.
He's a wise man.
That's how God has grown me. All right. We're talking about what would it look like to get your marriage moving in a different direction? And that means you're going to have to know what God says, not just what you feel, what you think, and what the world says. The Bible's amazing, and it really breaks it down for us. 1 Corinthians 13, you want to have love in your marriage. You want this marriage to thrive. Love is the oxygen that keeps marriage alive. And so you got to figure out, what are those things that are constricting your marriage, that are choking out the oxygen of love? And so listen again to what God's word says in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Now, here comes a string of oxygen love choking things. Love does not envy. You resent that your spouse gets celebrated. You resent strengths that you resent happy things that happen for them. That'll choke out love. Love does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up and arrogant. Ooh, these are things that choke out the oxygen of love. But now here's the tricky part. Some of you are like, well, I'm glad I'm not guilty of pride because you've got one version of it. We love to pick on the version that's not us. Whatever it looks like in someone else, we're like, well, that's not me. And so we've been bringing you week after week different manifestations of pride. And the reason we would take so much time on this is because this is such a relationship killer. James 4:6, we read it in a previous show, but hear it again. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Oh, your marriage needs grace to grow. Your marriage needs grace for love to thrive. So you better figure out what pride looks like in you. So we're bringing different manifestations. Here's another one. Being devastated. Have you ever thought about this? Well, I'm just very sensitive to criticism. Being devastated or angered by criticism is often a manifestation of pride. Proud people usually struggle a great deal with criticism. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. None of us love it. Like, right. Oh, I love being criticized, or I love being exhorted or rebuked. But if you just literally fall apart, mm-hmm. you just cannot handle it. You are.
It wrecks your day.
Notice the key word is devastated.
Mm-hmm.
That should be saved for like a hurricane that took your house out. That should be saved for stage 4 cancer.
Right.
But very often, if you were honest, you're like, I was devastated by that criticism. Why? It's pride. Pride makes you hypersensitive to criticism. Baby, any thoughts on that?
Of course. I always have thoughts on pretty much everything. And of course, I think it's interesting that I get to take the one being devastated or angered by criticism, but it comes as something that was really true of me.
Mm.
And I think of
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me just jump in right now.
Oh my. What's
she
gonna say?
She speaks the truth. Let me tell you how quickly I saw this. You know, I grew up with a twin brother.
I have a lot I want to say. You don't need to tell some story.
This will be quick.
Okay.
This is good.
Go ahead.
I grew up with a twin brother and a younger brother, and I mean, you know, guys just say things to each other like, hey, buddy, what about her? So I come home from work one day. We're in this one-bedroom apartment. We've been married like, I don't know, probably weeks, maybe 2 months. And I just looked at her and said, hey. And I thought I was real upbeat,
Pointless.
Happy tone. I just said, hey, when do you think we'll vacuum? Which was my nice way of saying, like, it hadn't been vacuumed yet. Is it on the radar? Is it on the calendar? Will this ever... And she dissolved. I mean,
it did not go well.
You would have thought I'd talked about bird nest hair and much worse things.
Well, I think I was thinking, like, he thinks I'm not a good wife. And then part of me is like, well, if you think you should vacuum, you know,
I was just thinking, when will this place get vacuumed?
Can vacuum. We have two able-bodied people here, so feel
yes,
free.
She was sensitive to criticism.
Mm-hmm. And I think of the verse in Proverbs 13:1 that says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline or instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke or correction. So for our show, we'll just say the verse uses instruction, the father's teaching, and rebuke, correction, to show that a wise person embraces both. And wow, I mean, that's something I still struggle with.
Yeah, correction's hard.
Yeah, it is. When you realize, okay, I'm not measuring up, there's some areas I need to work on.
And don't hear what we're not saying. You should not. It's not that a marriage should be comprised of just tons of correction.
No.
You're just constantly correcting each other. No.
No, that's not healthy.
But there's going to be a time where something needs to be said.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth noting how you say it. We mentioned it earlier. We try to tee it up. I was new at being a husband, so I didn't do it right. But what we do now is we'll say, hey, can I get your help on something?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll
say, then you always think,
you probably don't know it, but.
Right,
and then we begin to bring them. So I no longer just say, hey,
right.
When do you think we're going to vacuum? Hey. When are you going to get the pink mold out of my shower? Hey.
Hey, there's a scrub brush right there in the laundry room. Feel free. But I do think, like you said, there are things that are going to come up. This isn't something that happens even daily or weekly.
But, encouragement should happen daily.
Yes.
Criticism or a correction is going to have to happen occasionally.
But there's going to be things you have to talk through. And
can you receive it? Can you hear it?
We've talked about it in previous shows, but I think as a child, I was very compliant because I was a people pleaser. But because of that, one of my reasons for pleasing people was I wanted to be well thought of, but it worked pretty well because when you're a people pleaser, you don't get in trouble that much.
You rarely received any correction.
No. And it wasn't my parents'
people
fault.
People just ignored you and focused on the misbehaving kids.
Right, and I like that. So it was kind of my claim to fame in my own mind. But then once you get married and you have a relationship and you're living at close range with someone, there are things that are going to come up. And I think especially for, and once again, I think these, we've said before, it can be the husband or the wife, but I like to call it being prickly. You know, when you see people that are prickly, just everything offends you. It's very hard when you're just a prickly person, like
easily offended.
Easily offended, right. It makes it hard for your spouse, for your family, your friends, your relatives. You're just always being offended. And I think especially as a mom, this is something that can be really difficult on your family if you're the one that has such a high opinion of yourself and you're just easily offended over things that people are just doing their best. Yeah. They don't mean to offend you.
And I've had situations in counseling. I never knew this until I was counseling as much as I do. And I've seen it more than once where a woman, one of their biggest difficulties in their marriage is she was constantly offended by someone and wanted him to go back and tell that waiter she was offended. Go back and tell that neighbor she was offended. Go back and
go back to that salesperson. Tell them they talked wrong.
And it wasn't that he didn't love her and wasn't willing to defend her, but honestly, she was too easily offended. And what had just happened was not a huge deal, but she expected him to march back over there and ream them out for even gently disagreeing with her. That was, I have been wronged. I have been offended.
I've been disrespected.
And you need to defend my honor. And something's wrong.
Yes.
Quickly.
Very wrong.
Too easily offended. All right, we're going to take a break. And we'll come back and talk about this some more because it's worth getting your hands around and your head around. What does pride look like in real time? It has lots of different manifestations, and sometimes we don't recognize, oh, that's actually pride. And where it exists, it will choke out the oxygen of love in your marriage. We'll be back.
Back with more from Pastor Brad and Vicki in just a moment. Transparent moment for me right now. When I listen to Thrive every week, honestly, I think, man, it really doesn't get any better than this. This helps my marriage so much. Just like what they're talking about today, that the smallest things become the biggest battles, which is exactly why consistent spiritual input changes absolutely everything. And that's the whole philosophy behind Fortis Plus. Daily doses of truth. Because what that does, daily doses of truth, it counteracts daily doses of deception, which is what the world is feeding you. Fortis Plus is full of hundreds of hours of audio and video content available for you to consume right now, but it's not static content because we're adding to it every single day. Stuff on marriage, parenting, biblical perspectives on real issues that you're facing. And here's the best part. It's absolutely free. All you have to do is download Fortis Plus right now from where you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or you can just simply go to fortisplus.org. And I know you might be wondering how we have made all of our content absolutely free. Well, I'll be honest with you, it can only happen through our gospel partners. Those are men and women just like you who understand what we're doing here at Fortis Institute. What we're doing with Thrive is not just about saving marriages, it's about modeling health. So here's my direct appeal to you. If you are already faithfully giving to your local church because that's your number one giving priority and you have a margin to link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be eternally grateful for you because you can help get Thrive and all of our other content into the eyes and ears of more people in more places all over the world. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now to see exactly what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. All right, now let's get back to Pastor Brad and Vicki. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, welcome back. We're talking about the manifestations of pride. Many, many, many different looks on this. And the one we're touching on today is easily offended, prickly. really devastated by any measure of criticism at all, even if it's brought in the right way. It never seems like the right time. It's never the right time or the right way. But if you were to get really honest, what you really mean is just don't ever correct me. Don't ever bring me anything less than I'm wonderful.
You're wonderful. You're great. And I think a lot of times we've kind of talked about it in previous shows, but often these disappointments are around holidays or birthdays or Mother's Day. And so I think it just makes it very difficult because it's like, oh no, Mother's Day is coming up and no matter what we do,
and everyone kind of dreads
it. Right.
Yeah.
And like, once again, life is just too complicated and fast paced. Make it easy for your family, whether you're the dad doing this or the mom doing this. It just really sets a bad precedent in the home. And I mean, but it's something I have to still work on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even like when we were talking from our last show about when that was like 2 weeks ago in California, when Stuart said, I mean, they were both very strong. I mean, he said, I hope that doesn't, he was kind of waited. And I'm like, once again, not strong in the Lord. I think he meant strong-willed. He said, and I think he saw by the reaction on my face.
She literally reacted like, it just like, what?
He said, I hope that didn't offend you. I'm like, oh no, it didn't offend me.
And
it really didn't. It didn't offend me, but I was just like, wow, he's
but
basically
saying. But it did surprise
saying,
you, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he's basically saying I was a strong-willed
so you had not
woman.
Seen yourself
yes.
like that.
So, right. And so I think from this, from what we're talking about, a wise person embraces instruction and correction. And that's something that, to be honest, I'm still working on.
Because I hope you realize it's true of all of us. You do not see yourself
right.
like God and others
right.
see you. And so if you're not willing to allow others to fill in
mm-hmm.
and help you know who you really are and what they're seeing,
right.
then you won't grow the way you need to grow. And when you resist it and you bow up,
right.
listen to me, it's pride.
Mm-hmm.
It's pride that won't allow you to see yourself in less than a wonderful light.
And what we've talked about before in earlier shows, this is not just going to be a diminished version of Brad Bigney or Vicki
yeah.
Bigney. This is going to be a better version and more of the intention of who God created you to be.
That's right.
Because you've got more of Jesus in you and less of your original self, but it's still going to be your personality, your temperament, your joys, your dislikes. Yeah. Doesn't mean all those are going to go away, but it's just a better version
but
of yourself.
What we fail to recognize is God did not bring you a spouse
right.
just for them to cheer you on.
Mm-hmm.
He intends for that spouse to help you see yourself in ways you haven't seen, because you can't get to a better place and grow to be more like Jesus until you first realize where you're not.
Right.
Where are the deficiencies? And we mm-hmm. just don't see it in ourselves. And I'm telling you what, it is pride that keeps us from even wanting to see it. I've seen it many times in counseling, but I remember mm-hmm. this one night where I was wrapping it up. You know, we were at the end of our hour. I was about to pray. And she said, well, I do need to say something about this counseling. I said, you do? She said, yeah. She said, it's just way too much about sin. Sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no, I haven't talked only about sin. I've talked about the power of the gospel and Jesus and him for us and grace. But what she had heard
mm-hmm.
was sin. And I find that people that are very proud,
mm-hmm.
very proud, self-righteous, high view of themselves, they are hypersensitive to being seen in a poor light. And so I looked and I said, well, okay, you're not the first one that's ever said that. This is like week 7 or 8. I like to always ask a couple, in what part have you played in the demise of this marriage? We wouldn't be in counseling if
right.
this thing wasn't
dying.
And by
week 7 or 8, you
should have seen some things and be owning some things
mm-hmm.
and working on some things. And I kid you not, she just snapped back immediately. We've kind of already talked about it.
Mm.
I said, well, let's talk about it again. Your husband... He was willing to own and say what his part was
right.
that God had showed him. I said, what is
Yay.
Your part? And she just said again, we've kind of already talked about it. And I said, well, let's talk. Tell me what God has showed you is your part in the demise of. And she refused.
Mm-hmm.
She would not name her sin. Folks, I got to tell you, don't hear me saying it's easy, but what is behind an unwillingness to see yourself as a sinner?
Mm-hmm.
And own it is pride.
Yeah.
And as long as you stay stuck, and I'm sad to report that I believe they're still at the same place they were, because guess what? Shouldn't surprise you. She quit after
mm-hmm.
that. She didn't want to see anything negative about herself, and therefore, there's no chance of getting to a better place.
Right. And I think when we refuse to recognize we are sinners, it basically is just annulling the whole gospel. I mean, that's why Jesus died for us. We're sinners. We've received grace. Let's give that same grace. But it's a grace that changes us, that doesn't just keep us where we are. And, you know, I don't know who this person was you're talking about, but I would love to follow them around in their relationships thinking, you know, how are all their relationships?
I would venture to guess, would you not, prickly, that's affecting her other relationships? Church
job,
relationships,
your
friendships,
your mother,
jobs,
your children, yes.
Interactions with cashiers, you name it.
Because you're always thinking more of yourself. I deserve better.
But notice two words Vicky just brought together in the same sentence. I don't know if you heard it. She talked about sin and she talked about grace.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want you to understand, when you start to let go of or refuse to ever embrace a concept of being a sinner, you'll never taste amazing grace.
That's right.
Grace becomes amazing when you realize, oh, I'm a big sinner. Mm-hmm. Then grace seems amazing to you.
Right.
And some of you right now listening, you might think, yeah, I've kind of always struggled to get excited about what is up with this amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. In fact, that word wretch really bothers me. I don't want, that's not me. I got to tell you, as long as you refuse to embrace a big concept of I'm a sinner, you'll never taste amazing grace. And therefore, you won't have it to extend horizontally. So the only thing you can extend horizontally to others, starting with your spouse, is what you're getting vertically from God. And God gives truckloads of amazing grace to people who say, I am a sinner in need of a savior. You think about the Apostle Paul. Because I don't want you to think, well, that's probably a young Christian early in their walk. They realize they're a big sinner. But as you progress, I've been a Christian for 40 years, Brad. No, I'm not a big sinner anymore. That is not how you should be thinking.
Right.
The Apostle Paul, as he aged and as he walked with the Lord, in his last letter, 1st or 2nd Timothy, he said, call me. He was talking about sin.
Right.
And he said, call me what kind of sinner, Vicky?
Chief.
Chief. Call me the chief of sinners. See, the closer you get to God and the more you know him and the more he reveals to you who he is and who you are, you see yourself in a worse light. But you don't wallow.
No.
You
it
rejoice.
Makes you oh so grateful.
Because then you're like, oh my goodness, he saved me.
He died for me.
He died for me, rose for me, is coming back for me. And he gives me grace.
Yeah.
Grace. So give some thought. If you are someone who is
prickly,
devastated by criticism, your spouse can't say anything negative to you. Now, we're not talking about, my heart goes out. Some of you are in a relationship and that's all your spouse does.
Right.
Just constant criticism. That's not what we're talking about. I want you to think, are you the person that your spouse is given no margin forever? Ever saying, hey, honey, could I get your help on something? Or do you realize that hurt me when you said, or you, and you just,
Yeah.
I don't want to be told that there's anything wrong with me. Again, don't hear me saying it's fun, but one of the things that has moved our relationship to a better place is we call it putting out the welcome mat.
I like that.
It's a word picture for me. Is the welcome mat out? If Vicky wanted to tell me something about me, that I was not seeing, could she do it? Or would she dread it?
Right.
Or would she have already learned, oh, it is so not worth it.
Yes.
He's either going to blow up or he's going to clam up and pout or he's going to lash back and say, oh yeah?
What about you?
Let me tell you stuff about you.
Right.
And it just turns into a battle because you won't receive correction. And Proverbs actually says, he who will not receive correction is a fool. There's another verse in Proverbs that says, he who won't receive correction is stupid. So it doesn't matter what your IQ is, you might be brilliant. It doesn't matter what your giftedness is. You might be gifted in so many ways. Listen to me. If you don't receive criticism or correction, the Bible calls you a fool. No matter how much you think you know. Oh, we're talking about what would move your marriage in a new direction. take it off of life support and cause it to begin to thrive, well, guess what? The oxygen of love is essential, and pride will choke it out. But you better recognize the different manifestations of pride. So consider, do you need to think and pray and say, God, help me to be willing to receive correction and criticism, to not be so prickly or so offended, and watch what that might do to your marriage.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.